I am somewhat perplexed this morning as I consider what I would like to share. Perplexed because, well, I'll put it this way. Many times I seek God for a burden, for a message, and He gives a burden, and with the burden comes the message, the inspiration. And then there have been times where I seek God and probably not because of God, but probably because of myself, I don't receive. It's not been many times, but there's been a few times. It's been frustrating, you know, to not receive a burden and an inspiration. But what perplexes me this morning is that I clearly feel a burden, but the message still, by the size of my notes, I am perplexed. And so, if you would allow me this morning, I'm just going to talk about my burden. And if it, in your, you can let me know afterwards whether God gave us a message or not. Turn with me to a song, number 350. We sing this song often, and I'm glad we do. When I feel a lack for words to express, I almost always think of a song that expresses my mind. And I think it's probably because songs have always been meaningful to me, and I find them very inspirational, the message of songs. But Heart with Loving Heart United, Met to Know God's Holy Will. Talking about the love for the brotherhood. Let His love in us ignited more and more our spirits fill. He the head, we are His members. We reflect the light He is. We reflect Jesus Christ. He the master, we the brothers, He is ours and we are His. May we all so love each other and all selfish claims deny that the brother for the brother will not hesitate to die. Is that where we find our hearts this morning, that we would not hesitate to die for our brothers and sisters? Even so, our Lord has loved us. That's what Christ did for us. For our lives He shed His blood. Still He grieves and still He suffers when we mar the brotherhood, when we allow selfishness and when we allow pride to keep us from laying down our lives for each other. We mar the brotherhood and grieve Him today. Since, O Lord, You have demanded that our lives Your love should show, so we wait to be commanded forth into Your world to go. Kindle us, in us, love's compassion, so that everyone may see in our fellowship the promise of the new humanity. I'd like to sing this song. You can stand.
Oh, heart with loving heart united, met to know God's holy will. Let His love in us ignited, more and more our spirits fill. He the head, we are His members. We reflect the light He is. He the master, we the brothers. He is ours and we
be seated. My title, I'll call it Brotherhood Feedback Loops. And I'll explain that after a bit. Brotherhood Feedback Loops. The burden has come as I've thought over our brotherhood, or some of our brotherhood discussion over the last few months, particularly with the desire to start a church at Pottsville. And there's a desire to start a church at Pottsville. We talked about it. But because of continually running into different issues, it became obvious that we, at this point, can't start a brotherhood and then another church at congregation at Pottsville. And so, but there's still a burden to have services at Pottsville. And so, with lots of discussion, and some in brothers' meetings, some in other groups, other meetings, finally a plan emerged to go ahead and have services, and I would say it's a bold plan, to go ahead and have Sunday morning services at Pottsville without actually starting a congregation there, just an extension of our service here. And time will tell whether that is a wise plan or not, but that is what we have agreed to do. But in all this discussion, of course, you know, there's different ideas, different opinions, different thoughts, different perspectives. And I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, in our last brothers' meeting, that Brother Leonard just mentioned at the end of the discussion that, and I forget his exact words, but something to the effect of that he, at least at some point in our discussions, had been a little bit concerned about the sides or possible bit of division in the way we had discussed it. And I pondered that quite a bit because, well, I have been probably one of the major voices in discussing this whole issue, and with my perspective. And so I took those comments to heart and thought a lot about them. And in thinking about our plan, so thinking about the challenges of different perspective and the plan going forward being one that needs to be continually discussed, the question can be asked, and I've been asking this question, is can we continue to discuss this in a holy and God-fearing way and in a loving way to each other? I think it's a worthy question to ponder, and I've been thinking about it, and I think another question to ask is, can we do this kind of intense outreach in Pottsville? Do we have the faith to meet and tackle the challenges of city ministry? It's a good question. Do we have the faith? Do we have the love for each other to be able to meet in two different places on a Sunday morning, Sunday after Sunday, and still be united in heart? Mr. Lehman, I forget his first name, but he talks about the essential things for community, for a community to thrive. And one of those things is a shared geography. In other words, that we live in a close proximity. Well, some of us might be moving to Pottsville soon, still be a part here. And of course, we do that with foreign missionaries as well, which is some of the idea. But do we have the faith? Do we have the love for each other that it takes to meet these challenges? Has been the questions that have been rolling through my mind. And I'm sure I am not the only one. And so I had been going through my Bible and finding passages, various passages, on love for each other, love for the brotherhood. And as I was doing that, a pattern began to emerge in my mind that seemed to show up in various scriptures in various places. And I'll just write on the board what I saw or began to see. Truth, and I'll just put in Christ. Surrender. And with that, we'll put submission. Love, that is our topic this morning. Love for my brother. And finally, fulfilled purpose. Truth in Christ, surrender and submission, loving my brother, and fulfilled purpose. And initially, as I began to write things down and take notes as I was reading through these scriptures, initially, I wrote it like this, and I put arrows like this. Truth in Christ, we have truth, and then as we surrender to truth in Christ, we love our brother, and then, actually, initially, I just had these top words, truth, surrender, love, and finally, produces fulfillment. I want to take us to some of these scriptures that I'm talking about this morning and see if you can also see this pattern. You can turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, we will start reading in verse 10. And see if we can see the ideas of truth, surrender, love, and fulfilled purpose. 1 John 3, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren. Excuse me. If the world hate you, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. I don't know if I'll do this for all of the passages we'll look at, because I want to look at several. But in this passage, we see truth in Christ. John talks about the message. From the beginning. Sorry, it's not spelled right. And he talks about laying down our life. Does that sound like surrender? Lay down. I'll just write, lay down life. Lay down our life. And then he talks about loving. And how are we supposed to love? We are supposed to love not just in word, or not in word. He actually says not in word and indeed, or excuse me, not in word and in, what's the other word it gives there? But we are supposed to love in deed and in truth, or in deed and in sincerity, we could say. But actual action of love and the fulfilled purpose, we have life. We have passed from death unto life if we love the brotherhood, right? Did we hear that? And we also have the effect of assurance. Or assured our hearts. I don't know if we can read all that or not. It's fine if you can't. Let's go to another passage, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is filled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another." And again, we have, under truth, we can put liberty. And that's in Christ. And under surrender, we love our neighbor as ourself, right? As self. And we serve. Each other, one another. And the fulfilled purpose, it says, is that all the law is fulfilled. all the law is fulfilled. That's an amazing thought in us. Another passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, or just one verse we'll look at there, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. First Peter 1:22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." I don't think I'll write any more of this up on the board. You're getting the idea. But we see truth through the Spirit. Truth through the Spirit, purifying your souls. Purifying doesn't happen without a surrendering to Christ. An unfeigned love of the brethren, or a genuine love. A love that's not hypocritical. A love that's not for other motives or selfish motives. Unfeigned love, and it doesn't exactly give a fulfillment of a purpose directly, but obviously a pure heart is a fulfillment of of what is going on here, and we'll talk more about that. John chapter 15, two passages at the end of the Gospel of John I would like to look at yet. John chapter 15, and we will start reading in verse 5. Again, we're thinking about loving each other. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue..." Excuse me. "So have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." There could be a number of things pull out here, but as we think about truth in Christ, the source, the beginning, we see abiding in the vine. And that it is absolutely necessary that we as branches abide in Christ. And as a result, again, there is the surrender of laying down our life in verse 13. And it produces love one for another. And we see that in verse 12 at more than one place. And finally, the fulfilled purpose then is that we bring forth fruit, right? We bring forth fruit, and that God is glorified. Isn't that one of our ultimate purpose? Is that the Father is glorified, and we also have the effect that our joy may be full. Our joy would be full in love and in serving each other and in being in Christ. One more in chapter 13, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love... Sorry, let me start over. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Again, we see a commandment, a new commandment Jesus gives. And so we think of truth in Christ, that being the beginning. And I suppose you have noticed with some of these scriptures that the surrender and the love, as we think of these two columns, as it were, are hardly indistinguishable from each other. We obviously can see that there's surrender involved, and we obviously see that there's love involved, or we're commanded to love, but we could probably switch things around here, and in this verse we don't even hardly see a distinguish. It just says, simply says, love one another as I have loved you. And we can put that across both surrender and love. And the fulfilled purpose, and I think especially of Pottsville, is that all men will know that ye are my disciples. That all men would know. That doesn't just include Pottsville, though. That's all men. Everyone that we interact with, especially as a church body, that they would see that we are disciples of Jesus, and that it's fulfilling, and that it is a worthy, no, not that it's just a worthy cause, but that it is the truth. So as I looked at this, and I was, I try to categorize things in my mind, and I'm looking at this, I'm trying to make sense. Well, are these categories or aren't there? There's obviously surrender and submission, and there's love, or is it all the same thing? Are these two synonymous? Should I even be trying to separate this? And suddenly I realized that what I was looking at was a feedback loop, and that's where I got the title now. I'll explain what a feedback loop is. A feedback loop, I've always been fascinated with feedback loops. I don't remember when it started. I know I was fascinated with feedback loops long before I ever knew what a feedback loop was in definition, or that there was a word for it or term for it. But a feedback loop is a system, which we're talking about something greater than just mechanical systems, but a system where the output of a result of a process influences the input or the initial condition of that same process. So what is happening, the result of what is happening, affects what started the process in the first place. And so the cause and the effect become synonymous. And there are two kinds of feedback loops, and I don't want to make this a science class, but there's negative feedback loops, A negative feedback loop, probably one of the best illustrations of that is that there's a sensor over here on the side of the wall, a temperature sensor, and when the temperature gets just a bit lower than what the thermostat setting is at for this room, the heat turns on, and the heat brings the equipment, brings the temperature up in this room, and when it goes just above, all depending on how that thermostat is made or set up, it shuts the heat off, and then it begins to cool, and it just repeats that cycle again and again and again. And so that is what we call a negative feedback. And a negative feedback loop is linear in fashion. You would have a target or a balance that's wanted to be achieved, and a negative feedback loop just kind of goes like this. Just ever so slightly up and down, controlling whatever it is. Your body is full of negative feedback loops of various types, keeping things in balance with each other, and so that everything works properly, so that your body maintains the proper temperature, so that you keep the proper amount of energy and so on and so forth. There's another kind of feedback loop, and that's called a positive feedback loop. And a positive feedback loop is when the output affects the input in a way that increases it, that increases more output, and it keeps going, or less. It can be either way. So if we think of a increasing positive feedback loop, an illustration, I don't know if it's the best illustration, but one that happens once in a while here, is we'll all of a sudden have the speakers in this room start to squeal. We've all heard that a little bit, or we've been places where it has happened. And it's just, and what's happening is that the speaker, the microphone picks up the sound from the speaker, which begins to go through the system, and it just simply amplifies it, and it compounds on itself. That's an increasing positive feedback loop, but a positive feedback loop doesn't always increase. A positive feedback loop can also decrease. And I was trying to think of a good illustration of this, and I don't think I really thought of one, but I did think of, I just told the children yesterday, do you ever take a mirror and point it at the mirror, take the handheld mirror in the bathroom or wherever and face it in the other mirror and look at yourself in that mirror, holding the mirror, and what do you see? You just see another one and another one and another one and another one of yourself holding a mirror, and it goes on indefinitely, smaller and smaller, at least theoretically, and never stops. And so it can go either direction. It can be increasing or decreasing. This maybe isn't a negative or a positive decreasing feedback loop, but one cute thing that I get to observe from time to time that always amuses me because it starts a feedback loop in my mind, and that is you sit down to read a book with a child, and on the cover of the book is a picture of a parent sitting with their child with a book. And guess what's on the cover of the book that they have is a parent sitting with a child with a book. And it suddenly just gives you this mental feeling of being at the very beginning of an infinite positive feedback loop. Does brotherhood have feedback loops?
Does brotherhood have a negative feedback? Oh, by the way, I was going to illustrate. So a negative feedback loop is linear, but a positive feedback loop is going to increase. So it's going to be circular in fashion. It's going to continue going outward like that. Or it's going to be the other way around where it's going inward. And it just continues to compound itself, either getting larger and larger, greater and greater of the output, or less and less and less. I thought of, as I was thinking about what we're talking about, and again, I don't want to make this a science class, but, and I wish I had something that was as easy to understand on both sides of the room, but I'm a man, so I thought of an engine and a turbocharger, a turbo on an engine. And may I say before I begin this illustration is that a feedback loop, a positive impact, positive feedback loop, it's more exciting, right, than the negative feedback loop. Much more exciting. But it always has an original cause. There's always something continuing to feed that feedback loop. And I want us to think about that this morning. When I was younger, and I, like I said, I was fascinated with the such a thing as the positive feedback loop, the fact that you can compound energy. And there was a period of time where I was convinced, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, I was convinced that surely perpetual motion is possible. It's got to be. Well, it's not. At the root of every positive feedback loop, there has to be an ultimate source. So if you think of an engine, when an engine comes under load, it begins to push out more exhaust fumes. And if it has a turbocharger on, a turbo, there's a little turbine that will spin faster as that load increases because of the flow of gases across that turbine, which spins another turbine, which increases or moves air into the intake of the engine, increases intake pressure, which results in the engine, the fuel system, compensating by adding more fuel for more oxygen, which results in more combustion, more power, which results in more exhaust flow, which results in more intake pressure, which results in more horsepower, and it just keeps going. And an engine that will just keep right on going until the engine destructs itself if there's not some kind of negative feedback loop put in place to bring it into check. Do we have feedback loops in brotherhood? What I'm thinking of is that, especially these two categories, surrender and submission. Surrender to Christ, submission to my brotherhood, and the hopefully positive feedback loop that that creates. As we lay down our lives for each other, there is fulfillment, but it cycles right back around, brings more truth of Christ into our life, and increases our submission and our surrender. Does that make sense? Amen. And that's why it seems then we read these passages and the two become synonymous. Are there negative feedback loops in brotherhood? Are there? Maybe we don't like to think of it as a controlling force. That's kind of clumsy and not very, maybe doesn't feel very loving. But yes, I believe there are negative feedback loops. Just like a healthy body has to have many, many, many negative feedback loops. We have negative feedback loops. Positive feedback loops in brotherhood can be negative. We can get on to a feedback loop, a positive feedback loop that's negative, that is destructive, that destroys, that keeps going and decreasing our love for each other versus increasing. I hope you follow my thought process with that. And so this morning, and this isn't just about Pottsville, but that's where the burden started. My burden is that we would realize that the way we relate to each other and the way we are, like I said, every positive feedback has an ultimate source. We realize that we must be tapped into Jesus Christ. We must be, the truth must be being applied in our lives. The truth of God's word must be being applied in our lives if we are going to walk this out effectively, if we're going to have the faith, if we're going to have the love for each other to endure the trials of life and the trials that come into the congregation, into the brotherhood. And we also need to realize that this is a feedback loop. That there's rewards, there's an increasing of love as we submit ourselves to each other. But we also need to realize how dangerous, how it can so quickly turn backwards and work the other direction when we allow for self to be put in here. And there were some verses we read where we could have illustrated it just like this, and we could have illustrated a feedback loop the other way. But when we allow self to begin and to feed us pride, selfishness, rather than surrender to Christ, suddenly we can start a feedback loop. We relate to others in a way that is not profitable, and they in turn are tempted to do the same, and so on and so forth. It's a sobering thought. How do we walk? How do we live? How do we relate together that we keep positive feedback loops going in the right direction and not the wrong direction? I think there should be, I just have a number of things I wrote down, and I would be very happy if in testimony time you have other thoughts that would help us. After all, we're all in this together. But first of all, desire to help each other. We all should have a desire to, a sincere desire to help each other. I was so blessed here a while back, just a few months ago, I received a text one day from one of the young brothers here. And he was just offering. He wrote out just a number of things that he knows are going on in my life. And he just offered that if there's anything that he can do, or his wife can do, young married couple, if there's anything they can do for us, he'd love to do it. If it's just mowing the lawn or whatever it is. And I'm not here asking for you all to do that, but I'm just simply saying that, using that as an example of, even though I never did, I yet haven't utilized that offer, but I was so blessed. I felt so loved that someone considered the things that he considered. Do we have that kind of love for each other that we desire to help each other in remember, it's not just in word, but it's in deed and in sincerity. We should not, secondly, we should not take pleasure in others' mistakes. And I think I'm just as human as everyone else. I know I'm. I don't just think so. I know I am. Maybe more. That, you know, we talk about an issue or we're trying to make a decision. Maybe it's even in the workplace. And I give my input, my thoughts on something. And maybe it's halfway taken. Maybe it's not taken at all. And then things don't work out. And it's like, I told you so. Maybe we don't say it that way, but maybe that can be felt in our attitude. Not taking pleasure in others' mistakes, where they go wrong. Not easily offended. Am I one that's quickly to back away and retreat and protect myself? No gossip. Yes, we do talk about people, but it's something we have to be so mindful of, that the way and how we discuss issues and the strengths and weaknesses of others is not tearing them down and is not in a gossip way. We need to have mature response, even when what happened is immature. And that can be very challenging. We need to cover the faults of others. And we're not talking about covering outright sin, but love covers a multitude of sins. And what that's talking about is the things that are just annoying, the things that are just kind of frustrating, the things that just kind of make the road just a little bumpy. Can we overlook those things? Can we keep the positive feedback loop going in the right direction when we bump into those kinds of discomforts? We face them all the time. I know we do. Are we willing to confront wrong? How do we know when we should cover and when we should confront? And I think probably one of the best ways to look at that is that if you can truly lay something down and go on and not let it bother you, not let it frustrate you, and you can leave it behind and it doesn't have to affect your life, then it's probably okay to do so if it's not the kind of sin that's going to be damaging to the other person's soul. But if it's something that's going to continue to be there and continue to be an annoyance and continue to be a frustration and to continue to be a trial for me that this happened or that this brother is this way or that he does it, at some point we need to, and I say confront wrong, we need to be willing to speak and face the wrong of others, or realize that it's pride and selfishness in my own heart that needs to be dealt with. We need to receive concern from others. Concern from others about our life, about what I'm doing, about are we thankful when others speak into our lives? That's difficult for me. I'm sure I'm not much different than you all. Concern from others. Or do we get defensive? And just one small word, and this is a word of advice to myself as much as it is to you all, but our first reaction is always to prove our innocence, or to prove why it's different than what someone perceives it to be. And there's a place to carefully explain that, but I think far too often I am way too quick to try to prove my innocence or try to prove why or show why that is not the way that the one bringing the concern has perceived it. Humility. It takes humility to keep the positive feedback loop going the right direction. It takes humility to approach someone and allow a little bit of that negative feedback loop to work, to bring things into check and allow others to check us and not allow it to be offend us. You know, your car, you drove here this morning and there was all these feedback loops happening. Just imagine if when you came over the crest of that hill or whatever and the governor told that fuel system back off, or nowadays it's not mechanical governors, it's engine controllers, but whatever. Told that system, hold back. Don't just keep going at it. And the fuel system would say, oh, you don't like what I do? Oh, then we're out. And you wouldn't have got to church here this morning. And yet so often, that's in my life, that's how it wants to work, is that we think, or we at least feel that we have this great positive feedback loop going the right direction, and then somebody brings this correction, this thought to me, and suddenly the whole thing just flies apart and there's no need, or we feel uninspired to continue to stay connected to Christ, to be surrendered, to love, so that we can reap the fulfilled purposes. It is that all men would know that ye are my disciples. So that is my thoughts and my ponderings, my musings about the burden that came to me. You may decide whether it was a message or not. But I invite you to kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We stand here. We kneel here before you. We are thankful for brothers and sisters, for each one that has been brought into our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us to love each other and all selfish claims deny. That we would not hesitate to die, to give our lives, to give up our selfish motives, our agenda, or maybe it's even the things that we believe are right and good and scriptural. But there's other perspectives in brotherhood, Father. Lord, help us. Help us to be wise. Help us to be tapped into the true vine as those branches that are attached. Lord, that we would allow that to bring forth humility in our lives, that we would serve each other in a way that would cause more surrender, more humility. We would see ourselves more and realize the strength is in you, Lord Jesus, and not in ourselves. Lord, I pray that we would have, each one would have their hearts confirmed in Jesus Christ. Lord, that you would bring peace. Lord, that all the law would be fulfilled in our love for each other. Lord, also that the world, those in Pottsville, those in this neighborhood, everyone we interact with, that they would see that we are of Jesus Christ, that the testimony would be that those people love each other. Father, I pray that you would especially be with those that intend to carry out a more specific work there at Pottsville. I just pray that you would work there in their lives as they set up the beginnings of that increase of the ministry there. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to our hearts to be with them, and that we would love each other as we face and each challenge, each trial. Lord, that we would be together and appreciate each other and our perspectives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.